Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
As humans, we're doomed to live life far beneath God's intent. But as believers, we're called to the highest life possible, a life lived through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study Power for Life. It will change you. If you are in Christ, then you are called to the highest life possible and imaginable. Life lived through the power and the presence of the very Holy Spirit of God that came into your life the moment you trusted Christ as Savior. Power for Life, that's our topic on today's edition of Daily in the Word. Welcome to this daily radio program featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Dr. Chappell and this program when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And if you haven't already, I hope you'll visit the website and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ daily devotional. Every day to your email box or to your RSS reader, you'll receive a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a rooted principle, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading that will challenge your life and take you through the Bible one day at a time, all the way through the Bible this year. We hope you'll join us on our Rooted in Christ study in the Daily in the Word devotional. Find it at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to open our hearts to the Word of God and discover God's power for living our lives today. Today, we discover God's power to save, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, as we explore what really happened when we were born in Christ.
I heard of a woman who was summoned for jury duty, and she said to the judge, she said, "Judge, Your Honor, I'm sorry, I cannot serve on a jury. I do not believe in capital punishment, and I just can't serve on this jury." And the judge said, "Well, ma'am, this isn't a capital charge, so that doesn't matter." He said, "This is a case where a husband emptied out his wife's savings account of $14,000, took a three-day weekend trip with his girlfriend to Atlantic City." And she said, "Well," she said, "all right, I'll serve. And I could be wrong about capital punishment, too." Now, there's a lot of people that in their heart, they can, certain things can bring out some anger or some frustration, and yet all of us, the Bible says, are sinners. But notice secondly, Jesus died in our stead. He died on the cross in our stead. John 3:16, the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now think of that word, "whosoever believeth." The word "believe" means to be persuaded of it, to put my full confidence in this truth, to have faith or to entrust my eternity in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." God the Father hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us. Jesus Christ took our sin upon Him. And I'm going to tell you, friend, when He knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and when He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me," I do not believe it was merely the physical pain that Jesus had on His heart at that very moment, though that was a great concern, no doubt. But I believe more than that, the eternal, holy, sinless Son of God was just about to take upon Him the sin of those redeemed, and those of us who sit in this room who are calling ourselves Christians today, Jesus Christ bore our sin on himself on the cross of Calvary. And I want you to recognize, as we read the Word of God, that his substitutionary atonement was for the world's sin that day, bearing it in his own body. That's why I like the song we sang a moment ago, the song, "And Can It Be?" And think of these words written by Charles Wesley. "He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" What love that Jesus Christ would offer for us. So there's power in his position. He is eternal God. There is power in his payment. He shed his blood as eternal God for our sin. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And then notice thirdly with me this morning, there is power in his promises. I want you to see the power that we find in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 gives one of the great ones. And notice that in your notes. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now here's the promise of God to save those who believe, may I say, exclusively on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this era of pluralism, in this era where religious and political leaders lift up all religions and speak of the fact that all of them are wonderful and all of them, if really followed, will take us to heaven. Let's just be honest about the fact this morning that there is not a commonality when it comes to the teaching of salvation and eternal life, and that we do have some choices to make. And that every one of us must come to the place where we consider Christ and where we make a decision. And the Bible says that if we believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. In other words, the Bible says that he has power to save through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I think about the promises that come with this salvation, I want you to see three promises that God says are ours as his children. First of all, he promises us a new birth. He says to those who believe, there is a new birth for you and for me. John chapter 3 and verse 1, and I love this portion. Notice what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, let's say it together, except a man be born again. And then in verse 7, he said it again, Marvel not that I said unto ye, ye must be born again. Now, obviously, Nicodemus had experienced a physical birth, but Jesus spoke of the spiritual birth. He had experienced the birth of the water of the womb, but now he must experience the birth that comes about by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And Nicodemus, mind you, was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law of the Old Testament. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, that 71-member body of ruling religious leaders in Jewish life. He was not a kindergartner when it comes to Bible knowledge. He was a religious man, a man who knew much, much more, perhaps, than the average Baptist today about Old Testament teachings in particular. And yet, to this religious man, Jesus didn't say, just keep on the path you're on. As long as you really mean it, all roads will one day lead to heaven. And so hang in there, Nicodemus. Jesus looked Nicodemus in the eye and said to him, you, Nicodemus, must be born again, or you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Evangelist Billy Graham once said, and I think this is an amazing thought, that 80% of all of those who had made professions of faith in his various campaigns had their name on the membership roll of some religious organization. 80% of the people that you've seen, as you've perhaps watched on television, the Crusades and people coming to make a profession of faith in Christ, 80% of them, he said, were already on a church roll somewhere. What do we learn from that? Friends, we learn very clearly, religion does not save, church membership does not save, but Jesus Christ alone saves. And we must come to the place of that new birth where we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember our text this morning, John 1:12. But as many as received Him, as many as received Christ, not communion, not membership, not some charter membership or organizational membership, but as many as received Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Notice verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God says, I'm going to give to you a new birth. You must be born again. Now the fact is that when someone receives Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit of God touches their heart, they've heard the message of the Word of God, and they make that decision to receive Christ as their Savior. The Bible speaks of that as a new birth. They are born again. And there's something awesome about a new birth. Back on the last Thursday of October, our oldest daughter, Danielle, gave us our very first grandson. There he is, Brother Camden, right there. His name is Camden, right? And boy, I remember when that little guy was born, I was so nervous. And Danielle called and said, we're going to the hospital. And we just, it was like we were having a baby ourselves. We just got so nervous and raced over to the hospital. And they were having the H1N1 virus at that time. And so only two people could go in. And there was already someone there trying to help. So we had to kick that person out, of course, get them out of there. Grandma and grandpa are coming. And then we had to put on gloves and masks and robes and all kinds of stuff and went in. Inside, and I'm telling you what, when we saw Danielle and they brought Camden in there a few minutes later and we held him for the first time, boy, tears came down our faces and we prayed and asked God to bless him, and we prayed that someday he'd be saved at an early age. And I can still remember the room, I can still remember the nurses, I remember all about the taking of the footprints of little Camden, all the things they were doing. It was a miracle to see this little fella as he had been born on that day. It's a wonderful, it's his birthday. And how many of you think it might be special next October on that first birthday, right? Oh yeah, we're looking forward to it. I've already told him several times, I'm going to take you to Disneyland on your second birthday without your parents, just me and him and grandma. We're planning all kinds of stuff. He by the way, is very spiritual. He loves the Word of God. In fact, every time he sees it, he tries to eat it. I'm telling you what, he's just got an appetite for the Word of God. But I'm simply saying that his birthday is a day that we'll celebrate year after year. Now, friends, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a spiritual birthday. Now, you may not remember it, you know, October 22nd, 2009. You may not remember the exact day, but Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. I believe someone that's truly a Christian, they don't just by osmosis have it, or they didn't just get birthed into a family that had it. Grandpa's a preacher or a Baptist. No. It's a personal thing. It's a decision that we make. And when someone accepts Christ as their Savior, they're born again into the family of God. What a great, great decision that is. What a great privilege to be the recipient of God's wonderful love. But notice we not only will receive a new birth, but we secondly receive a new family. God says, when you're saved, I'm going to adopt you into my family. I'm going to place you into my family. Now, sometimes here on this earth, we have trouble getting into certain family relationships. I think about my son-in-law, Peter. Boy, I tell you, I watched him like a hawk when he was dating Danielle. And then when they got married, I decided I'd like him. Then they had Camden. I thought he was all right. You know what I mean? It's just kind of progression like that, kind of on trial. How many of you are glad it's not that way with God? We're just instantly accepted into the family of God. He loves us. I heard about a police officer in a small town, and he pulled over a guy that was speeding down Main Street, and the fellow tried to talk. Officer, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you something. I can explain. The officer snapped at him, quiet. And he took that fella and he said, you're going to spend the night in jail till the chief gets back. But officer, I need to tell you. And the officer threw him in the back, took him to jail. And man, I'll tell you what, he was rough. And the fellow was sitting there behind bars. A little later on, the police officer came by. He said, lucky for you, the chief said his daughter's wedding. He'll be in a good mood when he gets back. The fellow said, don't count on it. I'm the groom. Now, sometimes it's hard to get families going or get accepted into someone's family. But you know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're instantly born into the family of God. 1 John 3:1 says it this way, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. We shall be called the sons of God. As a child of God, a son or daughter of God, when you're born again, you're placed into the family of God. God says, I want to give you a new birth. I want to give you a new family. And then finally, he says, I want to give you a new home. We don't have time to study all about it, but let me tell you, this is a great study. This new home that he offers, it's a gated community. Gates of pearl, I'm telling you what, streets of gold. And that's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, now I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a place that's being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, I give you my promise that when you put your faith in my son, that you will be in that place for all of eternity. Now, many times I talk to religious people, I mean people with memberships of churches, who do not know that they have this place one day. They've never received these promises. They've never scripturally come to this understanding. But I want you to look at what the Bible says, because this is not Baptist, you know, hopefulness. This is biblical teaching. And I want you to see in 1 John 5 and verse 11 how the Scripture defines this. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is once again in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So friend, you can cling to false religion. But if you do not cling to the Son of God, you do not have everlasting life. And verse 13 then sums it up with this phrase. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name, there it is again, the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word say? That ye may hope, wish, what does it say? That ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so God says, I want you to know some promises that you can claim. You can claim a new birth, a new family, and a new home. These are your gifts by my grace to you because of what my son did on the cross of Calvary. Now let's mark this down once again to make sure we understand. Because someone may be sitting here this morning going, all right, I'm listening. What's the catch? You're telling me that if I, as a sinner, put my trust in Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, that God will forgive me and give me a new birth, a new family, and a new home. What's the catch? Surely there's a certain amount you've got to give every week. Surely you've got to keep certain sacraments or find yourself doing certain things. There's something I've got to do, because there's something about our human nature that says, you know, I've got to do something to earn this. But my friend, the Bible teaches that salvation is not something we earn. It is something that God, in his eternal grace and mercy, has prepared and has offered. And friend, it is not something I earn. It is something that I receive and that you can receive today. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 as we close this morning. For by, what does it say? Grace are you saved. Grace is undeserved favor. If Carrie Schmidt and I were downtown, or maybe let's just say we're over at In-N-Out Burger over on Avenue I. Not that we have been there ever. Not that you ever have taken me there. But if we ever were to be there having a hamburger together, maybe a double-double animal style, just something like that. But if we were there at In-N-Out having some hamburger and french fries, and we saw a man, let's just say maybe carjack somebody, and then the car broke down and the police caught him and we went to court. And maybe he had injured the driver and so forth. And so we were there, and the judge asked. We say, yeah, we saw it. And they say, all right, for this crime, we're going to give him, let's just say, 20 years. And so they gave him 20 years. Now, wait a minute. If the governor of California called Corcoran Prison and said, I want to pardon that guy, Carrie Schmidt and I would say, you know what? That is undeserved favor. We saw him carjack those people. That is undeserved favor. And if the governor let him off, I'm telling you right now, that would be gracious if the governor did that. And the fact of the matter is that from God's perspective, because we are all born into an Adamic sin line, all of us who deserve separation from God for all of eternity in a place called hell, God says, by my grace, I have offered to you forgiveness. I have offered to you a home in heaven. I have offered to you my justification. For by grace are you saved. And then notice it's through faith. It's through faith. It's not through our works, the Bible says. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Watch this. It is the gift of God. God says, I have a gift for you. It's paid for. It's wrapped up. I paid for it with my blood. But now you need to receive that gift by faith in order to be saved. It's not by your works of righteousness which you have done, but it's according to God's mercy that He saves us. A few years ago, I was going down to El Salvador to preach and help some of our missionaries get some works established there. And the police chief, he heard that we were coming. He said, look, he said, we've got, you know, a lot of crime and a lot of gang members with the MS-13 gang. And he was telling us these things. He said, I want to put some security personnel with you, and they'll take you around the country as you preach, and they'll help you. And it was a nice gesture. And we had opportunity to witness to these men and so forth. And then we would go around and we preached in different meetings and different community halls and in gymnasiums and so forth. And as we preached the Word of God, these men listened. And then we came to the final night as we had the service there in the northern part of the country, where we preached once again the gospel of Christ. I preached on the woman at the well. And that police chief that had met us at the airport and introduced us to these men who were going to help us, he was in the back of the room. And I saw him as he was listening to the message. And I was told he would come by and just check on our security and see how things were going. But I saw him that evening listening there in the back. And after the service, he came up to me and he inquired about the message. And he had a different background religiously. He had never heard about grace. He thought it was kind of up to him and up to his church to get him to heaven, and up to others to pray for him to get to heaven. And that evening, on the last night in El Salvador, as I had the opportunity to sit down through an interpreter and speak to this man, the man who had authority over all the police officers in the capital city, he said, I'm not sure that if I died, I would go to heaven. He said, every day of my life, I'm around people who would love it if I did die. He said, but if I did, I'm not sure that I would spend eternity in heaven. And I opened up the Word of God. I shared with him what I have shared with you in these last several moments, and he prayed in that office and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's attending church today. He's growing in his faith. His marriage is doing well, and God's at work in his life. And I simply share that with you to say that it's not because he was such a good man, but it's because God has so much grace and mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith. Only Jesus has power to save. Don't buy into this concept that whatever you believe in, a rock, a tree, another faith, whatever you believe in is just as good. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, shed His blood in order that we might have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me.
You've been listening to Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying Power for Life, what it means to live life each and every moment of every day with the guiding power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That presence and that power changes everything. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ, if you're not a believer, we invite you today to make that decision to invite the Savior to come into your life, to let His Holy Spirit take up residence, and then you can begin this dynamic daily relationship, moment by moment, experiencing the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Before we go, I want to tell you about a couple of resources that we hope will strengthen your walk with Christ. First, a companion book to this series, Power for Life. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity: Understanding the Spirit-Filled Life. It's written by Dr. Chappell. It's a powerful paperback book that will be a tremendous companion in your daily devotional life, and it will help you discover the unfolding daily work of power and grace and transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to bring about in your heart now that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's again entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. You can find out more about it when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. It's also available at amazon.com in paperback form and also for the Amazon Kindle. We hope you'll take a look at it real soon. Next, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. www.thehighestlife.org. On that website, you'll find recent broadcasts. You can subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take the preaching and teaching of Dr. Chapel on your iPod or computer and listen to it anytime at your convenience. But very importantly, we've redesigned our daily devotional. We're calling it this year Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box or RSS reader or to your website bookmark page, you'll find a very encouraging daily word of encouragement and devotion. And it's followed by an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. It's a free subscription, and we believe that it will help you to become more rooted in Christ in the new year. You can subscribe to it by going to dailyintheword.org and clicking on today's devotion. Again, dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.